Chapter 1. Brookton Manor, August 1819. Gideon Dumont, 6th Earl of Brookton, stared at the letter. The words made no sense. Roe had left him? He shook his head. Here was he rushing to their country estate, looking forward to spending what was left of the summer with his wife, only to find her missing, and no one seemed to know where she had gone. How was this possible? Where was she? How could someone so vital simply disappear? He gripped the sheet and studied it for the fifth time. Nothing had changed. My darling Gideon. Darling, am I entitled to call you that? You are to me. You always have been, and you always will be. So I shall grant myself one last indulgence. If you are reading this, you know I am not at Brookton Manor. I do not expect you to forgive my flight, but I could not stay. The rumours, the whispers, the well-intentioned comments have become untenable. I know many among our peers have affairs, kept under wraps, to scratch an itch their respective spouses seem unable to satisfy. I thought we were different. I thought we had a strong, loving marriage. I trusted, I hoped, I was enough. Evidently I was mistaken, and to think you found it necessary to seek another has broken me. I cannot stand by and watch the oaths we took disintegrate before my eyes. For most of the last 8 years we have been inseparable, yet I admit to being aware of a growing distance between us. Of late you are never home, and when you are, your mind is elsewhere, I can only presume, with her. I miss sitting with you at the end of the day, engaging in lively conversation or reading together. I miss taking constitutionals through one of the parks or an exhilarating ride along Rotten Row. I miss your touch. Oh, Gideon, I just miss you. How tedious. A wife who wants to be with her husband. Doubtless I should be grateful for the brief happiness we shared. Yes, 8 years out of what I believed would be forever is brief. But I'm not. I'm angry, hurt, disillusioned and betrayed. If I was so lacking as a wife, why did you not talk to me? Legally we are bound for life, but I am unable to live with your indifference. In order to retain a shred of dignity, I have taken control of my destiny. Rather than air our problems in public to the glee of the ton, I have let it be known I am wearied of city life, and am retiring to the country for the foreseeable future. Mayhap our separation will provide you the space and time to decide what or who you want, the fetters you so obviously abhor no longer confining you. Thank you for being the adoring husband you once were. I love you and will treasure the memory of what we shared. Roanna. The letter had an ominous finality to it. Him? Indifferent? Never. What was all this nonsense about affairs and fetters? Where the devil was she? Admittedly, his arrival had been delayed by circumstances beyond his control, but this? With a muffled roar, Gideon flung the page on the desk and stormed through the rambling old house to the domestic quarters. He burst through the baize door and down the corridor to the kitchens. The staff, snatching a moment's peace to eat a meal, shot to their feet. My lord, Chambers, the butler stammered, how may we be of service? The rest waited nervously. All knew Lady Brookton had departed. One was privy to the reason, and she was sworn to secrecy. Where is my wife? Gideon barked the question, his face thunderous. I am afraid I have no idea, Chambers replied, his tone sincere. She asked that only one small trunk and her valise be packed. She left about 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks? Gideon's mouth fell open in shock. And none of you thought to apprise me of this? We thought her ladyship had returned to London. An understandable assumption given the Earl's conspicuous absence from the manor. London could be stifling in the summer, and it was customary for the members of the ton to escape to their country estates for the duration of the hot weather. Nestled in rural Dorsetshire, Brookton Manor was a haven. At the beginning of August every year, for the past 8 years, Gideon brought Roanna here, and invariably the couple stayed until the end of September. In early July, when their mistress arrived on her own, the staff had been disquieted. Not entirely convinced by her assurances his lordship would follow in a month, as was their habit. For them to travel separately was unprecedented. Moreover, Lady Brookton seemed unusually withdrawn and agitated.